Everybody wants to rule the world. That's just one line from an old song by a group called Tears for Fears, I think. Is that right? Everybody wants to rule the world. And listen, it's true. Now, you may not have goals set on being the literal king of the whole planet, but you at least want to rule your world. See, we are born wanting to rule. We are born wanting to decide on our own what is best for us. It kind of starts in the garden. It didn't end well. Because when I decide what is best for me and it is contrary to what God says is best for me, I'm the one wrong. See, we're born with the attitude, we sang, "Your will be done, your kingdom come." But we're born with this song, "My will be done. Let my kingdom come. Let my will be done so that everyone might know my name." I can remember when I was younger wanting to find some way so that I would be remembered. Maybe it's as simple as having a road named after you, or you innately don't want to be forgotten. You innately want to be significant, and most of us, all of us are born with that self-centeredness and those me glasses on that says, "My will be done." And listen, we have rulers with the same motto. Washington is not a pretty place right now. Power, money, me. Evil rulers, and I'm just saying this as a blanket statement because the Word says it. Evil rulers produce misery for the people, distrust, chaos. Earthly government, even at its best, and we have better or worse leaders as we go down through time, right? But earthly government, even at its best, is imperfect. And it shows our need for a king. Yes, in America, we need a king. And I have good news for you. We have a king. Now, those of us who are trusting Him have a king who has redeemed us, and we have a Savior king. But even if you don't trust Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you have a king. And sovereignly, His will be done. And you can bow your knee in faith now, or you will bow it later. Bow today. See, the prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray is a prayer that tunes our hearts to our King, and a prayer that focuses on Him, and a prayer that says, "Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your name be hallowed in all the earth." What's most important is not me, it's you. We sang it. Use me in any way you want to. Whatever the trial, put me on your path and keep me on your path. The path of your glory will be the path of my good. So we're in a short series on prayer from the disciples' prayer, Lord's Prayer, right here in Matthew. The title of the series is "Your Kingdom Come," because I think that's the central theme here. We saw in chapter 6, in verses 5 through 8, praying badly. You can go back and listen to that and learn how not to pray. And then we saw beginning in heaven last time, where we focused on our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your name be set apart. May your name be glorified. May you be honored and magnified. And then maybe our question is, okay, how do we do that? And we're flowing out of that, right? As we look at verse 10, and we're going to do that today. And just simply titled this, "Not My Will." That's the glorious picture of our Savior before the cross in the garden. "Not my will." And it's to be my heart attitude, and it's what it's expressed here. "Not my will." So Jesus teaches us to pray and work for the continual advance of God's kingdom in Christ on earth. Pray for, main point, pray for the establishment of God's kingdom on earth so that His perfect will is done as it is in heaven. So just look, it's real simple. In verse 10, the outline is simple. The first part is "Your kingdom come." If you read the Bible and if you watch for the word "kingdom," you'll see that it's used in a bunch of different ways. I mean, and you go back and read through even the kings that were conquered by Israel, the kingdom of Og and of Bashan and Sihon and all of these kings. It was their kingdoms that were conquered. Israel had kings of the northern kingdom and kings of the southern kingdom. God's kingdom, right? It's spoken of in a number of different ways. I'm not going to touch on all of them this morning because we have a particular focus in this verse. But I will say this. You know, the kingdom, a kingdom in general, is just the place and the realm of God's rule. That's the general. I mean, Graham's Goldworthy says it's God's people in God's place under God's rule. That's a general definition of His kingdom. What is the... Think big picture. We're going to focus in really quickly. But what is the realm of God's rule? Everything. Everything. He is sovereign. He is God. He is King over everything. Heaven and earth. Universe. His creation. Whatever's out there. People like to play around and try to get out of things with multiple universes and all that. Not getting into that. It would all be part of creation. It's all under His sovereignty. But the universe is under His sovereign rule. And the cross shows us He's a ruler that can be trusted. But in regards to His sovereignty, everything, there's not one... R.C. Sproul likes to say there's not one maverick molecule in the universe that is not under His sovereign control. And if you try to think about that too deeply, it will drive you insane. You don't have the equipment for that. But Psalm 115:3 says this, "Our God is in the heavens. He does most of what He pleases." All. What does all mean? Everything. And see, that's the lesson Nebuchadnezzar had learned. Read the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar walks out on his balcony. Babylon king said, "Is this not Babylon that I have created?" And that good old boy got to graze some grass till he figured out he wasn't the biggest thing on earth, didn't he? And he came to the place where he acknowledged that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men. He does what He pleases. No one can stay His hand. No one can ask Him, what have you done? He doesn't ask us. He alone has infinite wisdom and infinite power to bring perfect plans about. See, sovereign rule, everything. But obviously, Jesus is focusing more narrowly than that. He's focusing bigger than Old Testament, just the Jewish people, Israel. He's focusing more narrowly than God being the sovereign ruler of the universe, which He is. But He's talking about a kingdom that needs to come. In some sense, it's not here yet. But His passion is your kingdom come. And that is a huge prayer. It's a huge prayer. It'll ultimately be fulfilled in new heavens, new earth. Forever. But this is something that hasn't come in its fullness, at least yet, and needs to come, and it is progressively coming, as we'll bring out. His redemptive rule, His saving rule, is what's focused on here. His redemptive rule, and that He is saving a people who delight in Him. It's the growing reign of Jesus in the hearts and lives of believers. That's where the focus of the kingdom is in this verse. His reign over His redeemed people. And listen to me. Now, we're not perfect. We will be perfect. You know when we will be perfect? We'll be perfect when we're glorified. Okay? And so when we come to faith in Jesus, we are justified on the basis of Jesus. What does that mean? God declares us righteous on the basis of Jesus' perfect life and death and resurrection. We have been united to Christ through faith. We are hidden in Him. The judgment of God that is due us has been poured out on Him, so that God bringing us to faith, we are hidden in His Son. He looks upon us as we trust in Christ by His grace and says, "Righteous." Jesus' record before the judgment throne of God for me and you, if you're trusting in Jesus, is perfect. Because it's Jesus' perfect record. He has lived for you. He has died for you. He's been raised, proving it's all true. He's reigning for you. He's coming back to get you someday. And the basis of your acceptance with God is Jesus. And Jesus alone. You can't work your way out of sin. You can't work your way to heaven. You just mess it up. He said it is finished. That means it is accomplished. That means He accomplished it. If there's anything left for you to do, He didn't accomplish it. Faith is simply the hand that receives the gift. And salvation is the gift to us in Jesus Christ. But He doesn't just justify us and adopt us into His family as His children, we talked about last week. But He begins at that point to what we call sanctify us or grow us in grace. And just very simply, all that means is He's making us more and more and more like Jesus as we go through the trials of this life and He proves Himself true and applies His Word to us. But Jesus' people are people who love and trust Him as their King and therefore grow in obeying Him. I want to make sure I don't present to you that you come to faith in Jesus and then you're perfect. Because you're not. Otherwise, God wouldn't have to keep telling us, don't fear. You know, confess your sins. Love your wife. Love your husband. All these things. But He's growing us and making us like Jesus. And as we grow, we more and more and more delight in Him. And therefore, we more and more and more trust Him. Or you can flip that. But the outflow of that is we more and more and more obey Him. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And what brings us to love Him is His gospel and His free grace. And He's willing to receive all who come to Him. Pictured in the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If that's your heart and you see Jesus as the Son of God raised, died, buried, raised, the Son of God who will save you. If you're trusting in Jesus, I'm struggling with words right now, but if your faith is in Jesus, that proves He's at work in you. And He promises to accept all who come to Him in faith. And He promises to grow all who come to Him in faith. And He's real with us. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome it for you. So what Jesus is talking about here when He says, your kingdom come, is His kingdom of His redemptive rule over His people, this growing body that will be accomplished from every tribe, tongue, and nation. You see them in Revelation, who will be before the throne. A big people. From every tribe, tongue, and nation reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, who delight in Him and worship Him and seek to live for Him. His kingdom, this kingdom we're talking about this morning, spreads through that gospel going to the nations. Through the good news of Jesus Christ, life, death, burial, incarnation, yes. Virgin birth, it's true. His life, death, burial, and resurrection. Through the good news of who Jesus is and what He's done, and on the free grace that is ours through faith, as that gospel goes to the nations, this part of His kingdom, His redemptive kingdom, His mediatorial kingdom, however you want to say that, His reign over His people, is growing. In response to His prayer, because He prayed this way, and then we can enter into that and pray this way. Lord, use us to proclaim Christ to those who don't know You. We trust You to take that message and build Your church, Jew and Gentile, and people who trust and rest in You. But the kingdom, His redemptive kingdom, the kingdom of God in Christ, the good news He preached of the kingdom is growing slowly. In Matthew 13:33, one of the parables of the kingdom, Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast. You're probably not used to using the word leaven. But it's like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until all was leavened. Until it just seeped through into all. The bread rose and was ready, right? So His kingdom comes through the preaching of the gospel, through bringing people to faith in Him who will delight in Him, love Him, trust Him, and grow in joyfully obeying Him. Joyfully. That tests our hearts. So that's the kingdom we're talking about here. When is His kingdom? I've already insinuated. When is His kingdom? Is His kingdom here now? Uh-huh. Is it? Will it be here in more growth tomorrow? Uh-huh. Will it be here in the future? Uh-huh. In fulfillment? Yes. His kingdom is not completely absent now. It's here. So what do we mean by come? Come to fruition with Jesus. It was inaugurated, was begun, big word for it, begun, in the fulfillment. See, He's the fulfillment. It was predicted and pictured in the Old Testament. Old Testament Israel was a picture of Jew and Gentile brought together in His kingdom, New Testament. So big. Y'all need to hang on. We got lunch here. We might be here a while. No, I'm teasing. I'm trying to boil this down. It's tough. But the kingdom came with the king. And the king came and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because the king is here. And Israel freaked out over that and didn't understand that. And his opponents freaked out over that. And his disciples scratching their head. Then, what do you mean the kingdom is here? We're still under oppression. And basically he's saying, I'm here. But in Mark 1:14-15, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, he said this. Jesus said this. I'm sorry, I'm wrong reference. I'm telling you, my head is scrambled this morning. But listen to what he said. Jesus went into Galilee preaching the good news of God. And here it is. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The predicted kingdom is here. It's here in mustard seed form. It's here in beginning form. It's here in me. And they go, huh? You know, the disciples didn't get it. His opponents certainly didn't get it until after He was raised up in their hearts and helped them to believe. And we'll study that more in Acts. But Jesus said it. The time is fulfilled. Believe Him. We're not waiting for the kingdom. It's not totally future. It's here now. In Jesus. And it is growing. Jesus said so. The kingdom came with the king. Small beginning, mustard seed. That's Matthew 13:31-32. I'll let you read that. But I'll give you one verse to prove the kingdom is here now. Colossians 1:13. And this is why we're to be thankful, because God has saved us. Look at this. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. The dominion. Kingdom of darkness, if you want to put it that way. And transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. When you come to faith, like you're transferred, you change sides. God, and you're transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So it's there, it exists, and it progresses through the gospel. And when you come to faith, you are put into the kingdom. The redemptive kingdom. The saved kingdom. His people. You are put into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Before you die, any of that, before the future comes, right now, if you trust Jesus, you are in His kingdom. In whom, and look at the glorious good news. In whom, in Him, in Jesus, God's Son, we have redemption. What is that? The forgiveness of our sins. Shows you what kind of kingdom we're talking about. So it's spreading through the gospel. It will be perfected at His second coming. If you want to use it this way, it was inaugurated with His first coming, consummated with His second coming. Right now it's through the gospel going forth. This kingdom is growing. Growing. So the kingdom came through, it has come through the incarnation. The birth of King Jesus. It is coming through gospel proclamation, the good news of King Jesus. It will come through judgment, and I warn you and I ask you to please pay attention to this. You cannot leave this life without Jesus. Because you cannot make it through judgment without Jesus. And you are not a special case. You have either kept God's law in thought, word, and deed from the time you were born till the time you die, or you are sinful and need a Savior, and I'm telling you, you can't be. Paul even said, they preached, flee from the wrath to come. But then the kingdom will come through renewal. The new heavens and the new earth. Life forever. Perfect joy in the presence of the King. That's the fulfillment. That's the fulfillment of it. Consummated at His return. That may be bleeding into your mind what my eschatology might look like if you study such things. But it will come through renewal in new heavens and new earth and at His return. And so this kingdom, this growing kingdom, this kingdom of salvation, this kingdom of God's people being brought to faith, the one that is coming and will finally come and be finished, has a characteristic in it. It just keeps flowing. Your kingdom come. What do you mean, Jesus? Your Father, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stop in heaven. I'm going to flip it. Right? In heaven, God is perfectly and purely delighted in by the saints that are there and the angels. And His will is their delight, and His will is perfectly and joyfully done by every creature who is in heaven around His throne. There is no sin in heaven. His will in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. Your will is perfectly done in heaven. May that be true on earth. The kingdom is being brought to the earth, fulfilled in Jesus, extended to His people, and brought to the earth in Him. And the characteristic of His kingdom is that His will is joyfully done. See, this is what we're to be praying about and what we're to be praying for. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when the new heavens and the new earth are here, that will be when His will was perfectly done forever and always. No sin. Perfect delight in Him. Perfect joyful obedience to Him because we love and trust Him. But He says, Lord, as it is done in heaven, may it be done on earth. And so, our prayer is to be for the King to be glorified on the earth. And big picture, anybody yearning for King Jesus to come right now? I hope so. If you're not, just watch the news for a little while. Jesus, please come and reign. Please deliver us from these goofballs. But let's think smaller. In my own life, Your will be done. Shepherd Psalm, right? Lead me in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Because I trust You. And I know that what You've commanded is for my good. And I know that Your path is the path of blessing and joy and fulfillment here. And certainly, wide open door after this life because of Jesus. Your will be done in my life. See, only one has perfectly done the will of God on earth in His life, and that was Jesus. And that's our righteousness. But we also have His Spirit to empower us to grow in imitation of Him in doing the will of God. Jesus said it was His food to do the will of God. Nothing else was of higher importance. Nothing else sustained Him like joyfully honoring and glorifying His Father. He said, it's my food to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. But He perfectly loved the Father. And so my desire is to be, God, work in my heart to grow in love for You so that I delight in You and delight in walking in Your ways. In my life, Your will be done. And through my life, Your will be done. And then as the gospel goes forth through all of us, increasingly on the earth, may Your will be joyfully done until that day when You return and rout out all that is not Your will, and Your will is done perfectly forever. See, Jesus is the one who has done this and accomplished it for us. Jesus is the one who has glorified God in His life, and that is our righteousness. And Jesus is the one to there calls us, living in dependence upon His grace, to imitate Him and joyfully walk according to God's will. I mean, the picture I keep coming back to and the one that always grabs me is like in Luke 22:42, where Jesus says, and He's right before the cross, and in His humanity He feels the weight of what's about to take place, and He says, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me." That cup of wrath He was to drink. "Nevertheless," look at this, "not My will, but Yours be done." So as we go before God and we lay out our burdens and our cares and our desires before Him, we should be able to, in full faith, pray, "But not My will, Yours be done." And the prosperity gospel people who lie to you and tell you that's a faithless prayer are going to someday look in the eyes of Jesus and see how wrong they were. That is a faith-filled prayer, because it demonstrates, I don't know all about what should happen. I know what I think I want to happen, but Lord, You are perfect in wisdom, so countermand my thoughts and do Your perfect will. That is a faith-filled prayer. Your will be done. Jesus is telling us to pray for the growth and establishment of His kingdom, which He has purchased. For a world where God's name, the one is coming, where God's name is hallowed, where it is glorified, where it's set apart as holy. And for our own hearts and lives to be devoted to His will. And we grow in that. See, when we come to faith in Jesus, if you have really come to know Jesus, your life will be different. Why? Because you suddenly are good enough to earn it? No. Because He gives you a new heart to trust Him and love Him and live for Him. According to His commands, His Word. Even when it hurts and you don't get it, maybe you don't even like it, you don't understand it, but if it's truth, it's for His glory, it's for your good, and the redeemed heart will eventually, like David, submit to that. But you get a new heart when you come to Jesus in faith. Ezekiel told Israel the same, and Gentiles were grafted into Israel and received the fulfillment of those promises. He hasn't done away with Israel. We've just been brought in. Anyway, Romans 11, read the branches. I'm telling you, I'm struggling with not preaching a 3-hour sermon this morning. But you get a new heart. Gospel, this is my point. The gospel not only saves you, it changes you. It changes you. It changes your desires. It changes your priorities. It changes your love. Why? Because you get a new heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says this, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone," the heart that was irresponsive to God and ran away from Him, "from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh," one that's responsive. Look at this. What do you mean? "I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes and be careful to obey My rules." See, the King has come, and He is the King, and on the basis of Him being King, He commands repentance. But He graciously grants what He has commanded in giving us a new heart and new desires that are tuned to Him and His law, that want to live according to His ways and walk with Him. We're not earning anything. This is grace flowing into us and through us. It's Him changing us and making us different because He loves us and has saved us. But don't miss it. The King commands repentance. He commands you to walk in His ways on the basis of His love and grace, not to earn it. D.A. Carson defines repentance this way. Listen to this. "A radical transformation of the entire person. A fundamental turnaround involving mind and action. It includes overtones of grief, and it will result in fruit in keeping with repentance." Joy, growing and joyfully doing His will. Read Psalm 119 and David's passion for God's Word and his cry to grow in it and know it and to live it out. See, if we've truly come to faith in Jesus, we will love Jesus and want to live for Him. If you want Jesus as a ticket to heaven, but you don't want Him messing with your life, that's not how this works. Jesus is not a ticket for you to indulge in sin. And if you are indulging in sin and claiming faith in Jesus, if you persist in that, you will stand before Him and hear Him say, "Depart from me. I never," not that I knew you and you lost it. "Depart from me. I never knew you." He says, you workers of iniquity. Lawlessness, sin, defined in 1 John. If God hasn't changed your heart so that you now hate sin and love Jesus and love righteousness, you're not perfect yet. You still stumble. You're growing into this. But if there's been no change of your heart and Jesus is just a ticket to heaven, I love you. I want you to come back. But I got to be faithful to Jesus and to you to tell you, you don't know Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? He says. Lord, Lord is a claim of intimacy. It's a name repeated in the Hebrew. Now, I'll tell you this too. If you come to trust in Jesus, you're going to struggle with sin. You're not going to be perfected right away, and you won't understand that. And you say, God, why is my sanctification so slow? John Piper said that. He said, what frustrates you about the Christian life? And he said, the exceeding slowness of my sanctification. Why do the longer I live, the more sinful I feel? Well, because the light's getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and you're being grown in grace. But He works repentance in those He saves. And it's a fruit of faith. We don't clean things up to make us enough clean to be saved. We simply bow before Christ and receive Him as Savior, but repentance comes along with that. You've already initially repented when you turn from unbelief to faith, and then repentance is lifelong. You growing to be less and less like yourself as you were, the old man, and more like Jesus. But listen, God's not playing. I've quoted this before. Acts 17, 30 and 31. It says this, Paul preaching to people who didn't know Christ on Mars Hill in Athens. He said, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He suggests all people everywhere repent. What's that word? And who is it for? Including you. The gospel is not just a good suggestion. It's not just good advice. It is, in this sense, a command. God has sacrificed His Son. He has died for the sins of His people and been buried. He's been raised, proving it's true. And on the basis of God's grace in Christ, He commands you to turn and trust in Him. And then, if God's really at work in you, He gives you life through the gospel and you turn and trust in Jesus and your life is different. My friends thought I had gone crazy when I came to Jesus. And to a large extent, I had. But I had different desires now. And I didn't understand it. But the things I used to enjoy now grieved me. One of them was my bad mouth. This mouth was right with Isaiah. Man of unclean lips. But suddenly that began to convict me. And various other things. And it wasn't me cleaning up my act. It was God having given me a new heart. But He grants what He commands. He commands repentance and He grants that and works that through the gospel. He commands us to turn from sin and to live in accord with His commands because He loves us and because we love Him and because of His grace in our lives. Not in an effort to earn our salvation, but because we have it and are mired up in grace. We turn and live for Him. And hear me, grow in that. Because we still have to confess our sins and He brings us. Thankfully, He doesn't tell us about all of our sins all at once. It would crush us and kill us. But He slowly reveals things that are not like Him and is cutting those away. Think of a sculptor. Think of Michelangelo when he carved David. It started out as a big rock, right? And he carved away everything that didn't look like David. I don't know how he knew what David looked like. But think of your sanctification that way. God is carving away everything that doesn't look like Jesus because He loves you. And you can fight Him if you want to, but if you know Jesus, He is going to deliver you from your sin. So how does the kingdom come? It comes through the gospel, through mission, through conversion. We preach, proclaim, share the gospel. People hear the gospel. They hear the law, yes. They see that they're sinners who deserve condemnation, but then they hear the good news of Jesus who came to live, die, and be raised to save us, and they turn and trust Him. So the kingdom grows through the gospel being proclaimed. And what is the visible expression of the kingdom in the lives of those who are converted? It's a delight in God and His Word that produces growing good works of joyful obedience. Joy in doing His will now because He has saved us. Hatred of sin, we see what it did to our Savior. Love of righteousness and growing in it and is revealed in His Word. If you want Jesus as a Savior but you have no desire to live according to His Word, it doesn't work that way. Because if you trust Him, He's going to give you a new heart. And that new heart's going to begin to line up and grow in lining up with this Word. And everything that doesn't look like Jesus is being peeled away. So the visible expression of the kingdom in my life is me looking more and more like Jesus. And I'm not there yet. You're not either. So we're not preaching perfection here. But we are preaching growth and new heart because of His grace. And my question to you, has the kingdom come in you? Pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life growingly as it is in heaven. Has the kingdom come in you? Do you see sin as ugly and worthy of His condemnation? And do you see yourself as a sinner who, apart from Jesus, deserves condemnation and would receive nothing else? And have you turned grief over sin, turned to Jesus for salvation? Trusting Him, being justified on the basis of Jesus, God declaring you righteousness. And I guess I'm asking you this morning, though, basically, are you experiencing growth in grace? Are you experiencing sanctification? Is your love for Jesus growing, therefore your faithfulness to Jesus growing? And is more and more His will expressed in His Word being done in your life? Only you can answer that question before God, because He's the only one that can see your heart, because we can fake it in front of one another. We can come in here on a Sunday morning with a smile on our face and we can fake it. But I warn you, you can't fake it with Him. So do you love Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Do you delight in Jesus and His Word and therefore want to be like Him, want to live in accord with His commands? Because a life growingly more and more doing His will is the outflow. Sanctification is the outflow of our justification, of the gospel coming to us and of His grace. So I'm not asking you if you're sinless, but does your sin grieve you? Does it grieve you? Do you want to be free from it? Do you want to be more like Jesus? And if you look back over your life, a lot of mistakes, but do you see a growth? A growth in grace. And do those around you see growth in grace? Will your life prove that you love Jesus? Because if you're really saved, it will. Now, if a legalist is judging you, it won't. You'll have to be perfect to please them, and they're not perfect and grumpy about it. And there's no way to please a legalist. But a biblical, can you read 1 John and say, you know, I'm not perfect in any one of those, but I see those marks of grace in my life. And then, flowing out of that, do you have a concern for those around you that they might come to know Jesus? Listen, if there's anybody in here who's not trusting Jesus and your family's pestering you about that, they may be doing that totally wrong. But that shows a heart of love for you and a heart of love for Jesus. I know I did it horrible. When I came to faith in Jesus, I went around beating everybody over the head with the Bible. I turned into John the Baptist. Repent, repent. But he didn't even do it that way because he was a good prophet. But it's because I had been saved and I wanted them to come to faith in Christ because I didn't want them to face condemnation. So are you praying and stepping out to see others come to faith? See, if we really get the gospel, it'll give us patience with the world because we know, you know, the mission is not over yet. There's lots of work to do. There are a lot of people to come to Jesus yet. So the world is messed up, yes, but Jesus is the answer and He's taken us somewhere good. But the gospel will also give us patience with ourselves. And I'm not there yet. Right? But He's taking me and He's taking you to that new heavens and a new earth, to that glorification, to that perfection. So pray for His kingdom to come in your life, His will to be done in your life, that you might love, trust, and joyfully obey Jesus. Pray for His kingdom to come through your life, that His will be done, and that you'll be light and salt for Him, for others, so that they might come to love, trust, and joyfully obey Jesus. And pray for the consummation of His kingdom coming. Man, if there's any prayer you can pray and, you know, be 100% confident it's going to be answered, praying Thy kingdom come and thinking about all the aspects, but especially the new heavens and the new earth, it is coming. That prayer will be answered. So His kingdom is coming in the earth through the proclamation of the gospel, and the number of people being saved increases. His kingdom is coming in your life as you have been brought to faith in Him and making you more like Jesus. And that process will be over in your life when you die or He returns and you're glorified. You get your new body when He returns as well. And in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness will dwell forever. Revelation 21, 1-5. I'm going to read it and stop. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. Look at this. It's a picture. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the body of Christ. It's not some big old huge square thingy. Anyway. Sorry. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." Look at this promise. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making everything new." And He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." There is a King, and it is Jesus. Love, trust, honor, and obey Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, woman, boy, or girl, but through Him. Let's pray. Lord, our prayer as we end is what You have told us to pray. Hallowed be Your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. On the earth as Your gospel goes forth and the mission goes forth and Your people come to faith in You. And we persevere in that mission knowing that it is sure and it is accomplished and it will be applied and there is coming a new heavens and a new earth. And Lord, in our lives, let Your will be done. Bring us to faith in Jesus. Help us to trust, delight in, love, seek to honor Jesus and grow in obedience to Him, knowing that someday, that salvation fully applied, we will be glorified and completely set free from the misery of sin. Lord, bless us. Save and sanctify Your people and help us to love, honor, and trust You. Help us to love one another. And to be arm in arm on mission together, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.